Welcome to the IAM Radio Network, featuring the Choice Coaching Show, offering skilled life coaching services from youth to adult. And now, here's the relationship whisperer herself, and your host, Katie Garmazon. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Choice Coaching Show. I want to thank you all for tuning in. For those of you who tune in every week, hello again. Thank you for being here. And for those of you who are new to the Choice Coaching Show, thank you so much for tuning in this week. So I am Katie Gramaison, and I'm the Relationship Whisperer. I'm the CEO of Choice Coaching Canada here in Sudbury, Ontario. Now, a lot of people like to know basically why we become coaches. And for those of you who listen every week, you already know. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I grew up in an abusive situation, an abusive environment. And at the age of 16, I became homeless and went through some pretty horrific ordeals when I was living on the streets. I had one bad relationship after another till I was about 25, when I got sick and tired of blaming everything that was wrong in my life on everyone else. And so I decided that I had to take responsibility for my life. I had to take responsibility for the choices that had led me to where I was at that point. And I did so. And in doing this, I found coaching and I started creating programs to help people overcome some of the same things that I've had to overcome in my life. And it was a great journey of self discovery. It was amazing, an amazing learning process. And I didn't always like what I found, and overcoming the issues wasn't always easy, but it was worth it in the end. And that's basically what I do today. I specialize in life coaching. I have an amazing relationship program that we're going to talk about today, and I like youth coaching as well. I don't do a lot of it, but when I do, I find it very rewarding. So today's show is going to be about coaches and the programs they've created and why. So today on my show, I am going to be talking with the creator of an amazing program called the 21 Days to Change Your Mind program. And the person who created this program is a hypnotherapist named Jeffrey Miller. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Katie. Thank you very much for having me on your phenomenal, fantastic show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure. And thank you for that fabulous introduction as well.
So as I said in my intro, people love to know the why. Why did you become a coach? What happened in your life that you had to overcome that led you down this path? So I was just wondering if maybe you could tell my listeners a little bit about you and the why you became a coach.
Well, like many of us out there, and coaches are no exception, you folks, we all have similarities. We all have a life that we've lived. And a lot of us could probably shake their head and go, wow, you wouldn't want to even think about mine. And there are some that said, hey, mine was perfect. Mine was fantastic. It's more so the other side of the coin, though. There's more people that have issues from past that plague them, that hang around and kick them in the butt from time to time. And they don't even know where it's coming from. I am no exception. I have lived it. And I've often said we don't know what we don't know, which is very true, because as we live our lives, we grow from that we were taught as children. Because as children, you're what they call ripe to listening. And a lot of parents say, no, my kids don't listen, but it's not really not true. They may not be listening to what you want them to say, you know, what you're saying to them at that moment, but they do listen. And they listen to way more than we think and we could possibly believe. They hear everything because they are open to it, to learning what it is, because that's how they will model their lives as they grow. Katie, you talked about your story and you elaborated on that, your life story on my show last week, the Hypnotic Interventionist show. And it is an amazing story, folks, and we suggest that you listen to that. My story and my why is simply very similar but different to a lot of people. My backstory is such that I grew up in a household where I had two identical twin brothers that were born in 1959, and I'm the oldest of that family, that actually what's called today autistic, and back then they had no clue. My mom and dad did everything they possibly could to try to find out back then why they had two quote-unquote retarded sons. Well, it left a void, believe it or not, and not an excuse, by the way. A lot of people actually say, well, you're making excuses. People do make excuses. However, a lot of people growing up learn what they live and then live what they learn. That being said, I was no different, just like most everybody else. My sister and I, although we were very loved, very well taken care of, we didn't have a lot growing up. Mom and Dad did absolutely the best they could, but it left some emotional scars, so to speak. There were some things that were missing for us. And it finally came to a realization in my mind about 6 or 7 years ago now. Very successful entrepreneur, multi-business owner, real estate developer, home builder, construction management experience in my early years in the city of Boston, vice president of three very large companies. I never had a problem getting it done. I never had a problem earning a good living, providing for my family. The one thing I realized at 20 plus years ago now, I moved up to the great state of Maine, way up in the woods, and people said, you got to be crazy. What are you going there for? I was going here for the solitude. It was like where I grew up when I was young. It had a beautiful feeling to it. It was like natural. And because I came here to develop a business, which I did and was very successful on that. But I woke up one morning, as many do. I had the pleasure of opening up my blinds to a double atrium door that looked 10 feet from a gorgeous lake. And some people will say, wow, you know, gee. Well, I earned every bit of it, folks. You know, it wasn't given to me. I earned it the old-fashioned way. That said, something hit me that morning. It was like a ton of bricks. So somebody took a bat, so to speak, and hit me in the back of the head. And I started the question of, who am I? Here I am, this very successful entrepreneur, and I love working with people. You know, I'm happy. I have great friends. But I didn't have good personal intimate relationships. I was lacking in that department, and I was alone. I was living alone in that house on the lake. Yeah, I had a great, beautiful car in the driveway, a big business in town, et cetera. But, you know, all that and a bag of chips, and what do you really have sometimes? You know,
money doesn't buy happiness.
Exactly. I wanted happiness. I wanted to share my life, and I wanted to share that I had earned with somebody that would appreciate it and also appreciate me. Well, that who am I question really hit me hard. And I sat down and I typed it onto good old Google with a cup of coffee. And I came up with a song by a group called Casting Crowns. And it actually put me in tears because it actually kind of told me, who am I? It answered the question really, really hard and up front. But it went further than that. It went to an understanding that I needed to do something about that part of my life. And I figured there had to be something out there to give me a hand, something that I could read. You know, this new online thing that everybody was doing even 5 or 6 years ago isn't what it is today. It's like triple or quadruple now what it was. And I found a program by Tony Robbins. And I had remembered some 15 years prior to that, reading the book. In fact, it might have been longer than 15. I have to count that. Awaken the Giant Within. And Awaken the Giant Within, I thought related to me specifically because I'm 6'4", 240 pounds, and I'm not fat. And I said, wow, Tony Robbins is a big guy too. So he wrote this book for giants, right? No, wrong. He wrote the book because the giant within your mind, awaken that giant, awaken that creative ability we all have to do and be who you really want to be. And I won't get into the entire book and certainly not an ad for Tony, but I recommend people go to that, find it. It's online now. You can read it online, I believe, for probably free. That said, I remembered that book from years ago, and I said, darn it, I'm going to do something about this. So I did. I started searching for Tony Robbins, and back in the day when I read that book, he had seminars, and maybe there was a couple hundred people, major cities around the country. I found out he has thousands of people going to seminars all over the world at this point. And I went, wow, what is he doing? Well, I found out he is known as the strategic interventionist, which means strategically he has a way of intervening into issues we all have in life and help you bust through them, come out the other side, and live a happier, healthier life. I said, I want this. Maybe this is where it is. And I also read up on it and found out there was relationship stuff in there and how to deal with children better and all this. And I went, wow, this is right up my alley. He wrote this just for me. So I enrolled. I found out how to enroll. I get into the program, and I did that program. I therefore became, quote unquote, a strategic interventionist. We had to do cross-coaching with a lot of coaches that were in the program. There's approximately 100 of us in that class all over the world. And we'd coach with each other. You know, practice makes perfect, right? You know, and then you'd be critiqued on how you were with your coaching. Well, as it turns out, I did a darn good job. And I was very happy with the outcome of that, to the point where I had other coaches asking me for more coaching. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really, really good. And then we get into the business aspect of it. And anybody that's going to be a coach today cannot do it for fun, because you're not serious. You're not serious. If you're going to be a coach, it doesn't have to be a full-time business. It can be what we call a part-time business, where you still work another job, so to speak, to earn the money to pay the bills while you're building your coaching practice. But do yourselves a favor and be serious about it. Set it up as a real business with a set of books and go from there, because you'll never take it serious if you don't. And a lot of people didn't do that. There was a very strong feeling that they made sure everybody understood you got to be in business. You're not just fooling around here, because it's not fooling around business. Well, that coaching.
No, you have to be passionate.
Exactly, Katie. And that went on for about a year or so that way. And I realized what strategic intervention was and still is today. It is a combination of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and conversational hypnosis. And those two things came from a very, very, very famous psychotherapist and a doctor, Dr. Milton Erickson. And people in the know with NLP would say, no, that came from two other guys. They did it. Well, that's true. They developed what's known as NLP from Dr. Erickson's work. When his work was dissected and scrutinized upon his death, and the man was plagued with polio, he was in a wheelchair, he could hardly talk, but he was still one of the best hypnotherapists the world has ever seen. And I have learned and attempted to learn, probably will never know what that man knew, but I picked up as much as I could, and I still do. I'm still reading the work of Dr. Milton Erickson through a mentor that I have with my working towards my master's in hypnotherapy. Now, that said, I went on to say, well, you know, I need to brand myself. Who am I going to be as this coach that everybody wants to come to? What am I going to do? So I started reading about that. And they say, and I say they, meaning on a medical professional level, it takes the human being approximately 21 days to really flip the switch on a thought or a bad habit in your unconscious mind. Now, you will often hear that referred to as subconscious, meaning it's kind of regressed, it's sub, it's less than. I don't choose to call it that. I like to call it the unconscious mind, because technically it is a thousand times larger than your conscious mind. Your conscious mind would be like the size of an American quarter dollar. The unconscious mind would be like the size of a giant beach ball that the kids kick around on the beach, you know, when you or in the backyard. So if you think of the comparison, your unconscious is huge, and we don't use, gosh, I don't even remember the percentage now. It's a vast amount that we don't use. Well, all that said, I said, so 21 days to change your mind. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Does anybody have that out there? Well, in varying forms, I guess there was a couple of things about this. And I said, you know, that's what I'm going to call the program, because it is true. We can change your mind in one session about something.
Okay, so how do you do this?
Well, you know, there's varying degrees. In the early days, I just did it with the strategic intervention. That's, you know, going in and talking about it and just reasoning and going through it and helping a person flip their state of mind. You know, flip the switch, change the habit, and go to another direction. I found it was great. It is phenomenal. I can't say enough good about it, because it is just that great of a way to work with a person to help them change. However, as I realized that there was more hypnotherapy involved, and I wanted to be involved with hypnotherapy to a degree where, reading enough about it, I realized that a person could change their mind almost as quickly in one session as I could in three sessions or four sessions with regular intervention work. I said, well, this is interesting. So how do I do that? Well, back to school. Let's teach the old dog some more new tricks. Back to school I went, and I studied hypnotherapy under a doctor from California, a doctor of hypnotherapy. And he's been a clinical hypnotherapist for years and years and years and years. And he had a great program, and it took me to a great place. However, it wasn't enough for me. I wanted to go further.
Okay.
So this past year, I've re-enrolled after a year break in that training, and I am with Dr. Mike Mandel up in Toronto now. And Dr. Mandel has been in a master of hypnotherapy now. Gosh, he works with the Canadian Royal Mounted Police. It's just amazing the amount of people that want him as a speaker and a trainer to help people understand what's going on and why hypnotherapy works in many, many places. On a conversational level, police departments all over the world are using it to help crisis intervention, helping people get in, that are hostage situations, talking down a hostage. It is an art to conversational hypnotherapy that just works. And, most times very successful. I don't particularly do that. I don't work with the police departments. I don't work with the governments. However, the training I've received is very similar to that because we all have to understand language patterns, et cetera. So that said, hypnotherapy, as I use it, is in a what we call a regression state of hypnotherapy, where a person has to understand why. Because I don't remember. I don't remember my childhood to the degree of the bad things, because the mind has a way of taking those and put them back in compartments of the back of your subconscious. And the only time you really remember them is you don't remember them. However, the memory triggers because of something of similarity that either is said or done to you or with you or whatever. And it causes an emotional reaction. You're having the same emotional reaction to that situation today as you did back when you learned it as a habit. That is not serving you.
Yeah, anybody who listened to your last show will know that I've gone through your program.
Yes, you have. Very, very successfully.
Very successfully. I 100% believe in the program. It does work. It's unbelievable, but it works.
Well, thank you for that, and you have been an excellent client as well, Katie, and I want to tell you, it is a pleasure for myself to be able to look at where we started when you started the program, the 21 Days Change Your Mind program, and with the hypnotherapy and three sessions of hypnotherapy later, and less than 21 days, you just went boom, 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 and went through it. We did it, I guess, in about a week.
Two weeks total.
Okay, from initial discussion of it through, and there was time in between, folks, that it's necessary because you can't just snap things out all at once. And interesting, a lot of people say, so you make me forget with hypnosis. You take things away. I do call it the shampoo and conditioner treatment. You know, we're going to wash that stuff right out of your head. And then we want to, but it isn't really that. It is, in all honesty, it does not go away. The memories stay back there. What we do is we go back and condition those memories to think about them differently, to have them not push the panic button of emotion. And I want everybody to think about this expression. You go to your emotions. They never come to you. No, I want everybody to think about that, I'll talk about this a little bit further on as well. The reason that we go to our emotions is because the human body and the mind were all designed in a time many, 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 many years ago, and there's a lot of conflict about that right now. Was it thousands of years ago or more? They're even finding proof now scientifically that we've been around here for a long time. But way back in the early days, let's say caveman days, let's say dinosaur days, whenever, you know, let's go back, way back. We were a being, as they say, our minds were designed for fight or flight, meaning that you are either going to fight and win or you're going to run like heck, okay? You're either going to go out for food or become the food. So your mind became conditioned. There's a part of the brain that became conditioned, and it became a habit that's been passed down through the DNA for years and years and years and years and years, from parent to child, parent to child, parent to child, that we still hold on to that, some of that prehistoric or premodal or whatever they want to call it. and whatever name you want to put on it, and I don't go for the scientific terminology here, just know that it's what it is. So when something happens today that the mind simulates, meaning similar to what happened as a child when you learn these habits, causes you to boop, snap, and it goes to an emotion that, in other words, you've gone to the emotion of feeling something in similarity to what's happening today. I'm sure if you all think about it, listening to the show today, you can relate in some way. You can say, oh, wow, yeah, I seem to do that. I seem to have this thing that happens if I'm spoken to a certain way, or somebody says something a certain way, or somebody aggravates me. A lot of people say, you aggravate me. Is that person really aggravating you? Go ahead.
So how do you stop people from being triggered, though? I think that's maybe what people want to know. Like, how can you, for someone who's been, you know, sexually abused, or someone who was beat up by a parent as a child, or, you know, all of the horrific things that we can go through in our lives, how do you stop the triggers?
With hypnosis, it's pretty phenomenal. And I'll go to that first, because it's my first line of defense, okay? There is almost nothing that can go on in the human mind that can't be taken care of with hypnosis. People can actually hypnotize themselves if you wanted to learn how. I haven't quite mastered that part yet, but I'm called a master hypnotherapist, because I have the art of being able to very quickly bring a person into trance state. When I do, we have to find that's bugging you. I have to set the mind. I have to set your mind. In other words, I have the tools in the toolbox, but it's personally you that does the hypnotizing. I can't hypnotize you. You actually hypnotize yourself. We will go back, and you will go back. And I say we because I'm partnered with my client at that moment. We are interlocked, so to speak. I am monitoring and watching. And by the way, folks, this is not done in person. I do this via Skype. And it was said at one point that people can't hypnotize somebody via Skype. Well, that's a bunch of bunk, because it's done on a regular basis by many hypnotherapists today. Many coaches are utilizing
it.
And it works. Katie can vouch for that, as many other clients that I've had over the years. So we have to go in, we meaning you, the client, and myself, have to go in a very safe, protected environment. And that's something that I actually do as part of when I bring you into hypnosis, so that you feel protected, you feel safe. And you are now a visitor to your mind, and you physically will mentally see yourself at the age. You'll interlock with that age mentally, because you know your unconscious is now open, receptive to allowing you to bust through that firewall, so to speak. Just like the firewall keeps the viruses out of your computer, you've got a firewall in your mind. It is that barrier between consciousness, meaning the conscious thoughts and that daily activity in the frontal cortex of your mind, and what goes on in the unconsciousness of your mind, that stored regressed memories. So we go in and we get to that memory. You will physically sit there, and you will mentally see it like you're looking at yourself at that age. And when you look at yourself at that age, you then can see what happened. Now, a lot of people say, that's scary. I don't want to do that. I don't want to witness. I'm scared to death. I know something terrible happened to me. Maybe I don't remember all the details, but I do remember enough. And there is a way that we can speak to you, meaning a good hypnotherapist can speak to you and give you the correct thoughts and forethoughts going into the hypnotic trance, that it will not cause that reaction. But you will know coming out of it. We can also go in with hypnotherapy and actually more or less cause a little bit of amnesia. It's still back there, but you don't need to have to remember it. That's the key thing. It isn't a memory that you need, want, nor desire any longer. So why have it run and control your entire life? And every individual is different. Every client is different. Everyone has
absolutely
a different and unique perspective and situation. Nobody lives the same life. You can grow up in the same household with siblings, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, doesn't matter. Every one of you is an individual, and every one of you has what we call a model of your world. everybody's view, everybody's vision sees differently. From the mental view to the what you physically see as reflection through your eyeballs into your brain. Everybody's different from colors and everything. So what one sibling might see and feel and hear in a life growing up, the other one may not. So it's interesting. They say, well, how has this child changed so drastically? How is this child having such problems as an adult now or in adolescence? And this one seems to be fine. And they both grew up in the same home. Maybe they're the same age. You know, there's a case story. This is an actual fact. And it was part of my studies in hypnotherapy and also in strategic intervention. And it was actually a true story that happened in the city of Boston in the States. And they were a set of identical twins, now grown men. One is an alcoholic, a bum, living in a cardboard box on a steam vent over the subway tunnels. The other one, identical in every manner of speaking, other than in the mind, as you'll soon realize, is a very successful entrepreneur, owns a high-rise building, a big business, has the marble foyer on the seventh floor of his building, et cetera, you know, you will get off the elevator and there's all gold and glitter and it's like, wow, this guy's really made it. Oval doors that open up and the secretary brings you in. Well, they were doing a study on the impacts of what happens when you grow up. And they found out about these twins, one totally different from the other, but identical. Identical in almost every way. Interestingly enough, they tried to interview the homeless gentleman first. He'd have nothing to do with it. He threw stuff at him. They even tried to give him money so he could buy, you know, maybe he wanted to go get some meal. You know, they offered him a hotel for the night. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. So they said, well, let's start with the other brother then. Let's at least talk to the other brother. And they interviewed him on camera and they filmed this. And it was quite an interesting story. And the final question in the interviewing was, how do you perceive in your own mind why growing up in such a terrible situation at home? And that situation was this, folks. They both were beaten severely by the father. They had a drunk mom who had gentlemen friends in during the day, which they witnessed. A very bad situation. Very, very bad. And you can only imagine how bad. Some people can totally relate. Some can't, but they can say, wow, that must have been terrible. Well, anyway, it left a major impact on both these boys to the point where the state removed them from the home. And when they were removed from the home, what happened was at that point, they wound up separated, growing up and finishing in their teens, they wound up in separate homes. The one that became the alcoholic and the drug addict actually ran away. The one who didn't had some nurturing that must have been a little bit better, and he wound up going off to school, going to university, et cetera, and did better. So here's a situation. We got two identical men at the same age, born like 30, 40 seconds apart from the womb, and they're living two totally different lives. So they said, well, based on the circumstances, everything you went through, what is the success you have now? And his answer was simply this: what would you expect me to do? I grew up in one of the most horrific, from my point of view, one of the most horrific childhoods that anybody could ever have. And I made a pact with myself that I would never, ever, ever allow myself to go back to that, nor was I going to have a family that ever had to live that way. So I've done everything I could possibly do to raise my children the furthest from those situations. Interesting story. Now, yeah, it's a choice. Now let's go back. They finally got to talk to the brother with help of the other brother. He finally said, listen, let these guys help you out. You know, they're willing to pay you. They want to give you some money. They're doing a study. And they asked him, after talking to him, and, you know, how do you perceive the way you are? Why are you homeless? Why are you a drug addict? Why are you an alcoholic? Why do you want to live in a cardboard box over a steam vent? He said, what makes you think I want to? It's my life. It's what I have to do. It's how I was raised. It's what I lived. You know, this terrible beating all the time, my father and my mother lying and having men in, and it just messed me up. And they looked at him and said, well, that is your answer. Yes, it's my answer. So here you go. And yes, the other brother got a little bit more help. Okay. He learned and lived a little bit of a different scenario because he got into a different foster care home. They actually, you know, being separated at like 14 years of age, but still you've got a lot of stuff set in your mind by the age of 14. There is so much there. There is so much there that is almost unchangeable, meaning consciously, you're not going to change it. It's who you are. We call it the modus operandi, your operating system, so to speak. You become that, and you do become what you live, and then you live it. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut you off for a minute because we have to go for a commercial break.
All right.
Yeah, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the interventionist, and then we'll get into the relationship aspect of our radio show today.
All right. We'll see you just in a moment then. Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the Platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the Gold level, and we have the Silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network.
Okay, welcome back. So just before the break, we were talking to Jeffrey Miller about his 21 Days to Change Your Mind program. So we're going to finish up with that. And then Jeffrey and I are going to talk about a bit about relationships.
Well, that's going to be a great subject because, by gosh, we've all got them. And that's the one that got me to be a coach. Isn't that something? How cool is that? So, folks, getting back to what we had before the commercial break, and thank you so much for listening and spending this time with us today. It's Katie's shows. Coach Katie's shows are phenomenal. She's had record numbers of folks listening to her shows, and she continued to grow, and she's doing very well, not only as a coach, but now she's on air as a radio personality, showing you, telling you all about coaching services that are available that you can seek out and get some guidance in these areas. So yeah, let's move on to the relationships, Katie. I mean, I polish up on me. This is my want and desire. This is my passion, as they say. And I will only say that I think, folks, if you consider what you get up and do every morning and go to work every day might be something you feel you have to do. And people say, I'm stuck with this. I can't make a change because I won't have the money to provide for my family, pay bills, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, wake up tomorrow morning and think about that one thing that you would just love to be able to do. It's so passionate, and that's what you'd like to have your life's mission be. And start working on it. You can do it part-time. Make it happen. And that's my suggestion, because that's what I had to do after many, many years as a successful entrepreneur. And I'm still an entrepreneur, but I had to become that coach. Why is because I had to become my first best client. And when I received the help from coaching, from intervention and hypnotherapy, and it did change my mind, I had a whole different look on life. My outlook was changed. My model of the world actually flipped and looked a lot different. A lot of what I did back then, I don't do anymore. As a result, my life is a lot more relaxed, peaceful, and guess what? I did find that relationship and that woman of my dreams. And we've been happily married for a little over a year and a half now. So it took a little bit of time, but the laws of attraction, as they say, worked. And I was then right to be able to attract a woman who was really compatible with me. And it's just so beautiful. So let's talk about relationships. That's great.
Perfect. Okay, so when it comes to relationships, when I first started out developing my relationship program, it was due to the fact that as a coach, they say you never to coach your family, and so it's a mistake that I made. But I coached a family member into a relationship, kind of pushed her more than coached her. I got a little arrogant, which is really bad for any coach to do, because this is what happened. I ended up coaching this person into a relationship that they they weren't ready for it and it wasn't good for them. I thought I knew best. I thought I was doing the right thing based on what she had said and the look in her eyes and whatnot. So I led her into this relationship and it ended up blowing up in my face as things like this do. I overstepped my boundaries. Yeah. And so when I make a mistake, I have this habit of becoming obsessed with it, right? Okay, so I made a mistake. What mistake did I make? What can I learn from this mistake? And how can I ensure that I never, ever make this mistake again? And so that obsession ended up becoming my relationship program. As I started coaching relationships, I realized that there's so much more than just an intimate relationship. There are family relationships, there are friendships, and there's dating. Dating is one of the programs that I've created that I absolutely love. I have so much fun with my dating program. And that's where it starts, right? I mean, everybody's out there now and they're looking for their perfect person, their soulmate. Soulmate gets tossed around a lot nowadays. And the worst thing that I hear and the thing that I hate to hear the most is I'm looking for that instant connection. So, I mean, this can be all good and well, but if you're the type of person who has been in one bad relationship after another, whether it be, you know, somebody who neglects you or abuses you or puts you down or treats you badly in any way, then that instant connection is your body's way, your brain's way of telling you to run like heck. So, and basically what it comes to is we are instantly attracted to what we are familiar with. So, I mean, I went through quite a few bad relationships in my life, and I went through these relationships because I was attracted to what I was familiar with. And so my stepdad gave me some really great advice one day, and he has no idea that this impacted me the way it did. But the advice he gave me was, if I wanted to get into a good, solid, loving relationship, then the next time I met somebody and I was like instantly attracted to them, I felt that spark that I should run. Run in the other direction, screaming if necessary. And I thought that was funny. It made me laugh. And then he said, the next time you meet somebody that you're not instantly attracted to, give them a chance, get to know them, go on a few dates with them. That will be the person that you'll end up falling in love with and potentially spending the rest of your life with. So when somebody gives me advice, I mull it over and then I like to try it. So I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. So I went a good 3 months doing this. Okay, so I meet a guy and I'm instantly attracted to him. So no, I'm not going to date this guy. And then I came across a guy one day that I wasn't instantly attracted to. And so his friend asked me to give him my number, yada, yada. And so I ended up giving him my number. We ended up meeting the next day for coffee. And then we went out on a date together. And within 2 weeks, I ended up falling head over heels in love with this guy. He was absolutely amazing. He was kind. He was generous. He had an amazing laugh. And his eyes lit up every time he looked at me. He made me feel like the most beautiful woman in the room. And I married him. And almost 9 years later, he still makes me feel like the most beautiful woman in the room every time he looks at me. It really is.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, so Kate... taking my stepdad's advice got me the man that I had been asking the universe for. And that's another thing. When you ask the universe for something, don't sit back and wait for it to come to you. Put it out there, let it go, and start working towards it. Because then you and the universe can work in perfect synchronicity to achieving your goals. And so when I started developing this relationship program, my husband and I, we fight. And I hear a lot of couples say, oh, well, we never fight. And in my head, I'm like, you know, you're headed for divorce. It is absolutely imperative that you fight in a relationship, but you have to do it the right way. There are ways to fight in your relationship that won't damage your relationship, but it will strengthen it. And I'll tell you one of the things right now that I tell a lot of the couples, when you're fighting, arrogance and competitiveness have no place in a healthy relationship. You're not fighting to win when you fight with your partner. You're fighting for your relationship. And when you fight to win, you damage your relationship. When you fight for your relationship, you strengthen it. And this is just one of the things that I teach couples when they go through my relationship program. And now I've had people come in and say that they absolutely hate each other and they're done. And then within 6 months, because that's how long my program is, within 6 months, they are happy, they're fighting the right way in their relationship. And when you give a couple permission to fight in their relationship, you should see the relief on their face. It's like they've been given permission to do something, and now somebody's going to teach them how to do it the right way, and they're like, oh my God, so I can express when I have an issue. I can talk about something that's bothering me without destroying my relationship. So it's really nice to see that sense of relief, you know? So basically, when it comes to dating, I suggest that people stop looking for that spark, you know, for that instant attraction. If you're the type of person who's constantly getting yourself into bad relationships, look for, they say nice guys finish last, but look for the nice guy and let him finish first this time. And I'm telling you, you will be a winner too. And then when it comes to dating, don't be afraid to fight. And don't partake in the honeymoon phase. I call it the fairy tale phase. Because at the beginning of every relationship, people tend to fib about their likes and dislikes because they're attracted to this person and they really want to build a relationship with them. And so what they do is they pretend to like things that they don't actually like. Like some people say they love camping when they don't, or fishing, or, you know, Broadway shows, and they don't. And then 10 years down the road, you know, the one partner asks the other if they want to go camping for the weekend, only to find out their partner hates camping. Always has, just said that because they wanted to get into a relationship. So in the first 6 months, instead of pretending to be someone you're not, let your partner know exactly who you are. Let the person you're interested in know exactly who you are and ask them to do the same. Because that way you don't waste 10 years of your life with what you thought was the exact person you were looking for. And if it doesn't work out in the first 6 months and you're not what the other is looking for, then neither of you have to waste your time. You can move on and find the person that shares those same interests that are important to you.
Great thoughts, Katie. Wow. Wow. Folks, write those notes down. Everybody needs to focus on that. You know, I have an expression that I use when I coach I do not coach couples. However, individually, I have had ladies and or men come to me and say, you know, would you coach me on this? This is my issue. I don't know why I keep doing it, and we work on it. And yeah. Folks need to understand the why they keep becoming attracted to the same old, same old. I have an expression for ladies. I call it, you met Pete, and then repeat. Now, different face, different body, different type of person you think, but somehow you attracted the same old, and with a different shell, so to speak, different cover. When, in fact, if you work on those issues that a great coach like Katie will do with you, she will bring you through and bring you to an understanding of what and how you've been doing it that is causing you to attract Pete and repeat so that you don't any longer.
Well, and I find the worst part about getting somebody who's used to being in unhealthy relationships into a healthy relationship is when they start to convince themselves they don't deserve it.
Well, that's another sign, right?
Yeah, that for me is very frustrating because it is really, really hard to recondition somebody who's, say, 25 years old and has been in one bad relationship after another since high school. And they have a hard time finding the attraction to this nice person that they're dating because this nice person isn't calling them names, putting them down, or slapping them around.
Right.
So, and that's, to them, that's love. That's, this person doesn't love me, or I can't be attracted to them because they're not, but they don't realize it's in the back of their head. You know,
that's
the inner critic
that's
saying,
it's unconscious.
Not hurting
right.
me. Yeah.
Yes.
This person's not hurting me, so they don't love me. So this relationship isn't going to work. I'm going to get out before they end it. And then the other
right.
person who has no idea is like, well, what did I do? You know,
exactly.
why are you breaking up with me? You know, so it's like it's getting somebody who's a habitual bad dater to being a good dater and only having to do this once is an extremely difficult process. It's not easy by any means.
I find it amazing, Katie, that men and women do the same thing and vice versa. And here's one of the interesting parts about that. Men that are, as you just described it, saying, oh, my goodness, what did I do wrong? I treated her like a lady. I opened a door for her. We went out to dinner. I was a gentleman. you know, all these great things, and all
that's
of a sudden, bam, it's over. You know, we call that a self-defeating prophecy is what it is. The person, and in my case, it was the women in my life that I was attracted to as a decent guy that did those things I just mentioned. And I'm not all that in a bag of chips, as they say, but I was brought up right. My mom and dad did a lot to make sure that I'd be a gentleman. And my mother specifically, God bless her, you know, she did everything she could to make sure that I would be that gentleman that she chose me to be as a mother and as a woman who, in fact, was treated with respect by my dad when they were dating back years ago when they were in high school, et cetera. So when a man has a relationship with a woman who treats him like that, it's the first thing he needs to go to in his mind. Not because he should, but because it's what happens where he thinks, oh, me, what did I do so wrong? When in fact, you didn't do anything wrong. You attracted it. So therefore, you also have a situation in your mind, what we call a low self-esteem in one area or another, because you are you're allowing yourself to attract to those type of relationships. Now, talk about the ladies, exactly what you said. The lady goes to the self-defeating prophecy. Men can do it too. You know, men, it can be a flip-flop, guys and girls. It isn't just me. It's not, you know, one way or the other. And we're not picking on men. We're not picking on the ladies. However, it happens on both sides of the fence. It happens in any relationship.
Yeah, we're picking on you both.
Well, I guess you could put it that way. You know, both sides need to, and there's other relationships as well that people involve themselves with. And does it not matter? Two people in a relationship still have to work by these rules. You attract your friends for a particular reason. You know, they say you can pick them and choose them, but you can't your family. That's the only difference. So therefore, if you're in a relationship, whether it be friends or an intimate relationship, then sometimes even family, you have the right to say, no, I choose not to live this way. I choose not to tolerate this. And that's
what
the big
thing. Well, when it comes to family, when it comes to family, one of the things I learned when I started on my coaching journey was that you had to distance yourself from detrimental relationships in your life. So, and for me, I did have some detrimental family relationships in my life that I had to create a distance from in order to heal. I had to let go and I had to move forward. People think that they're your parents, you have to respect them, you have to love them, you have to have them in your life no matter what. But that isn't true. You know, if they're hurtful or harmful to you in any way, you have every right to say no. And I'm not taking this, I'm not staying in this relationship. It's detrimental, and I'm moving on, and I'm leaving you behind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Katie. I've told both male and female clients this, and I've suggested. I don't tell anybody what to do. They've asked me for advice, and they make that investment in themselves on a financial basis that they want that advice. Therefore, I give that advice, the best advice I can possibly give. And one of the things I've been very successful with is what we call creative visualization. Creative visualization is nothing more than you creating in your mind the scenario and the life you want to live. And then visualizing it to be true, which means you need to write it down. And we don't have time to get into all of it today. It was probably something we could discuss on another show. In fact, Thursday, chance on the show, we could talk about that. Creative visualization is an absolutely amazing way to sit down and help yourself understand some of this we're talking about today. And there is so much more to discuss, folks. Unfortunately, an hour goes by very quickly. We got about 10 minutes of showtime left. It's crazy, but that's it.
There's roughly 11 and a half minutes left of the show.
Crazy
how fast time flies.
It's fantastic. Visualization to me, and you know, they talked about the movie The Secret and all that stuff, and it is good. It's the law of attraction, as they say, and a lot of people say it does not work. Well, the actual movie and the book didn't really go into the full dimension of what it takes to get there. And there's a word that was left out, and it's called action. You know, it's like, what do they say? What does the movie producer say to start the movie? Action. And then the cameras start to roll. Everything starts to happen. Well, if you go to the movies today or you read a great book about in personal development, something you want to do to help fix what's going on in your life, and I'll read this book and I'm going to go to this seminar. I'm going to go this. I'm going to hire that coach. You can do all of that. But if you do not personally take the action steps, meaning just like walking up the hill, you've got to put one foot in front of the other and do it in your mind.
Yeah.
If you don't take those action steps, you're never going to accomplish them. You're wasting your time, wasting your money. That's a shame.
Absolutely.
That's a shame.
I am so tired of going online and seeing people post things like, oh, if you want it, visualize it, and it will come. What a load of you know what. Come on, people. If you want something, yeah, visualize it. Focus on it. Make a vision board so that it's in your mind every day so that you know what you want to work towards.
Right.
And that's
right.
The key word. You have to be willing to work for it. You have to be willing to evolve as a person. We're human beings. The human race has been evolving for, like, millions of years. Okay? So be willing to evolve. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing scary about it. Be willing to evolve. Be willing to work. And yes, you will achieve your goals.
And I think what we just did is hit Katie's passion button. You heard it best right there. Absolutely fantastic. And you have to be able to connect your emotions to the visualization. And there's a process involved in that. And when you do, it's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
You know, but you've got to take the action steps. First of all, you got to know what those action steps are. Connect with us. Connect with us. In our network, we have coaches that work on this all the time. Katie works in it. I work in it. We both work with together, co-coaching with clients as well. And these, you know, we'll be teaching a program on this before long, creative visualization. It's just absolutely amazing. It's something that you can do at home. It isn't going to cost you $1 million, but it is going to cost you some time. And that time and those steps are your action steps. That's what you need to do to get it done. And then once
now remember. Remember,
no,
whining about it isn't going to get it for you. You actually have to set a goal. Visualize the goal and then start walking that path. You can't visualize the goal and sit down and wait for the trolley to come along and carry you there, because I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
That is exactly true. Exactly true. This all takes steps of action. Everything in this life is an action step. From the second you open your eyes to putting your feet on the floor. And if you had this creative visualization and you knew what you wanted to do to change your mind and to change the scenario of your life, you would have it written down. And when you realize what happens and how that happens, when you have done that, wow, it does make, you know, and we all possess it. We all have this unbelievable ability between these ears to create an existence, to create a life that's happy and fulfilling. It isn't supposed to be tough. It isn't supposed to be difficult.
No.
And I've how many people I've heard, and Katie, I know the same. They go, oh, well, yeah, you think you have all the answers. Yeah, but we don't. we have a lot of the answers. We have a passion for what we're talking about. We have created changes in our lives that most people shake their heads at. It just, you know, when I listen to what you said and what I as a coach know from your backstory, Katie, and then I look what you've done with the action steps you've taken and saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to live this way anymore.
Yeah.
When you finally get to that state of mind where you have had enough, that is when the passion, and it has to be white hot, folks, being the hottest flame on the planet, the white hot burning desire of passion will overtake the crap that you're living in to make a change in your life.
Exactly. And that's what it needs to be. Find your passion. One of the first things I tell my clients all the time, you have to find your passion. You have to figure out what it is that makes you want to get up in the morning, makes you want to jump out of bed, put your feet on the floor and get out the door to do whatever it is you're passionate about. Find that, and that's our goal, and that's what we're going to work towards. I'm going to teach you how to get there.
Amen. That's perfect. And I'll tell you what, folks, she does. As long as I have been coaching now, and for the level of achievement I have received, and the folks, I'm humbled by the folks that they write back to me in testimony of how they're doing even a year later. I'm just thrilled. It just sends the goosebumps up and down my spine to see and know that such a difference has been made. I have also coached with Katie. I am not just her coach. She has been mine as well. You know, and regardless of an age difference in years on the planet, it does not matter. This lady knows her stuff. She's been there. She's done it. She did something about it. You want to change your life? You want to hire her. There's no question about it. You want to make that investment in you. And people say, well, what's it cost? It doesn't matter. It's an investment. And yes, of course it matters because everybody's tight financially. But I will tell you this. that investment you make in yourself is priceless, absolutely priceless, because it is going to change your life for the rest of your life. If you want to keep living under that veil and that stuff that you deal with every day, day in and day out, whether it's relationships, family stuff, stuff at work, habits, addictions, whatever it may be, you want to get in touch with Katie for that consultation. I promise you, you will not be sorry.
Okay, we're down to our last 4 minutes. So, Jeffrey, I'm going to ask you to let my listeners know how they can find you, get in touch with you.
Finding me these days in the woods of Maine is really tough, I've got to be honest with you. But online, it's very simple. www.21daystochangeyourmind.com. And on Facebook, I am known as The Hypnotic Interventionist, where I use the hypnotherapy with intervention therapy. And it works very well, as I've mentioned earlier. And thank you, folks, very much for being on the show and listening. And also on the Interactive Media Network, which is also known as the parent is the Interactive Media Network. And we are now broadcasting on the I Am Radio TV Network, and proud to be so.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jeffrey. I really appreciate you being here with me today.
Well, thank you, Katie, for inviting me. It's been a pleasure, as it always is, and it's a pleasure coaching with you, and it's a pleasure being your coach and having you as my coach from time to time. And folks, that's what it's all about. It's that collaboration of working together and teaching and learning from each other that allows us to be better coaches for you.
Absolutely. And this is what the I Am Network is all about. It's about coaches coming together and collaborating, helping each other, cross-coaching, coaching each other, making sure that, you know, we have all the tools we need in order to get through anything that we might be dealing with, to help promote our business, to promote you as a coach, to promote your shows on the I Am Network. We work very hard together to help each other get where we want to be. Now, Jeffrey had mentioned that costs can be a factor in hiring a coach. So here's what I'm going to do on today's show. I am going to offer the first 5 listeners to email me through my website at www.choicecoachingcanada.com and just give me a quick message about what you need to deal with, what you're looking to work on. And the first 5 people who do that are going to get 2 free 30-minute calls with me, okay? So that's 2 free 30-minute calls to the first 5 listeners today who get in touch with me through my webpage. Now, I can also be found on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to get in touch with me, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and if you want to take advantage of the 2 free half-hour sessions, then get in touch with me via email through choicecoachingcanada.com. And I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. And that's it for today. So we're going to close up the show.
Fantastic offer, Katie.
One more thing, Jeffrey, one more thing. Anybody who wants Jeffrey to himself, make sure to tune in Thursday at 3 Eastern time. Sorry, hold on one sec. I'm a little lost here. Okay, so at 3 p.m. Yeah, so I was right. 3 p.m. Eastern time, 12 p.m. PST, and 7 p.m. UK time on Thursday, March 17th. And you can have Jeffrey all to yourself. Trust me, you want to hear his words of wisdom. He is an amazing hypnotherapist. He is an amazing coach. And his 21 Days to Change Your Mind program works. So if you have anything that you are dealing with, that you are having a hard time overcoming, please, I beg of you, get in touch with him. Let him help you. Let him work with you. Jeffrey, do you have any kind of special offer you want to quickly offer to the listeners today?
I will just say this, because we've got less than a minute and we're going to be off air. Yes, folks, because you've heard it on Katie's show, the first 21 people will get a free consultation plus a bonus that I will tell you when you reach me at my website and fill out a little questionnaire I have, www.21dayschangeyourmind.com, and or find me on Facebook, 21 Days to Change Your Mind. Okay? Thanks very much, Katie. I appreciate it.
And folks, thanks for being here, Jeffrey. And thank you to all the listeners today. And we look forward to talking to you again on the next show. And make sure to tune into Jeffrey's show on Thursday. You don't want to miss it. Have a great day, everyone. And thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody. Thank you.